Right. Tony, the Peter Wolf of the Giles Band, was going to be visiting with us for an hour. He is here and busily selecting a something old, new, borrowed, and blue set to play for you. And while he gets his records together, there's a very interesting report filed by our own Robin Sagan. It has to do with champagne, the old bubbly that we like to get our hands on, especially this time of the year.
What does he say?
But what do you know about champagne? Listen to Robin closely.
We here at FM have been having a fine old time this week, what with Christmas concerts and parties and all. From time to time, we've had occasion to imbibe a bit of the bubbly, and all of us at WNEW FM News decided it was time to find out something about what we've been drinking. And so we called Smitty Cogan, director of the News and Information Bureau of the Champagne region of France. Champagne is the northernmost French wine-growing region, and the place where the tiny bubbles first appeared some 300 years ago.
Champagne became a sparkling wine by act of nature. The makers of the wine were trying to make still wine, but unfortunately the coming of winter stopped the fermentation in the bottle. They didn't know this. This is prior to Pasteur, of course. And then when warm weather came along later on in the spring, why, the bottle began to ferment again, that is, within the bottle, and the wine became bubbly. They considered that devil's wine at the time. But in 1670, a blind monk named Dom Perignon discovered that this was a process that he could control. He was the first to discover that champagne could be a blend of wines. He was the first to blend it. That is, it's about 30 wines today in one bottle. And he was the first to use cork and glass and to tie the cork to the glass to prevent the bottles from exploding.
Even if you don't do that, they'll all pop out in the middle?
That's right. There's 90 pounds of pressure in that bottle.
We made our first mistake by asking about French champagne.
Champagne, the word standing alone, means the champagne of the Champagne province in France. Only in this country, where sparkling wines can be made differently from different grapes and by different methods and in different climates and so on, is the law stating a requirement that the word champagne must be preceded by its place of origin. That's our federal law.
All classic champagnes are a blend of at least 30 still white wines, some more than 40, of the Champagne region. They are blended at a ratio of 1 from white to every 2 from red grapes. They're allowed to ferment a second time in the bottle and then aged 3 to 5 years. One might note the French keep 2/3 of their champagne product at home. Most folks think of champagne as a New Year's Eve drink, and with good reason.
The tradition really is a wine tradition that goes back before Christ. And many people celebrate it in some form or another with wine in various countries of the world. In England, it's the wassail bowl. In Spain, they use the grape. They eat one grape at each chime of the clock at midnight. Now, in the fullness of the centuries, when champagne became the drink of royalty, it's called the King of Wine, Wine of Kings, by the way. Then people said, well, if we're going to use wine on New Year's Eve, let's use the best. And that's how champagne came in.
For those of you who wish to indulge in a bit of the champagne grape, Smitty recommends a non-vintage brut champagne, usually the cheapest, and because it's a blend of different years of grapes, usually consistent. Your glass should be a tulip or flute glass, not the more popular bowl. Most importantly, that allows the bubbles to continually rise, and since you hold these glasses by the stem, the warmth of your hand won't warm the wine. But you can't drink it if you don't get it out of the bottle. Large pops are unpardonable, as is letting the cork get away. Recommended procedure is to first chill the bottle 20 to 30 minutes in a mixture of ice and water. Then, if you're right-handed, reverse this if you're lefty, hold the bottle in your left hand at a 45-degree angle, and remove the wire and foil and work the cork with your right and only your right hand. When you feel it loosening, twist the bottle, not the cork.
In France, they say that the sound of a champagne cork should be like the sigh of a contented woman.
Oh, those French. For WNEW-FM News, I'm Robin Sagan.
Three a.m. Nowhere else to go.
apples are departing. Soon they'll all be gone now. Another day is starting. Still I linger on with
blue champagne, purple shadows on blue champagne, with the echoes that still remain. I keep a blue rendezvous.
Familiar, and his voice is unmistakable.
You might catch me down in New Mexico.
The incomparable singer and bassist from the band has brought together old friends and guest artists to make the most exciting music of his career, his own. Rick Danko. Everything that's come before was leading up to this, his first solo album on Arista Records and Tapes.
What a town, what a town, what a town. I fall in love every time.
Rick Danko will be appearing at the Capitol Theater in Passaic December 17th. He will be at the Toys for Tots concert out there. This is Dave Herman on WNEW-FM in New York. It is 19 minutes after 9 o'clock. I told you before that Peter Wolf was here. Peter Wolf, who has been the lead singer and driving force behind the Giles Band for a whole long time already. He's been rummaging through the records. He's got them all set up. Pete, I told you that this is the time each morning that we do a set called Something Old, Something New, Something Borrowed, Something Blue. Usually the listeners of the program selected, but whenever we have a guest here, it becomes your job. So the show is now yours.
Well, since we're doing fine at 20 after 9, I thank you. See, getting back to New York, I originally come from New York, but I've been away from New York for so long that when I come back to New York, it's like meeting an old lady friend that you ain't seen in a while, and I really get excited. And like when something old, see, doing it, you can go all different directions. You can go into really old esoteric blues things, or you can go into old like big band things and stuff, or you know, the spectrum is big, so it was a hard problem. But when I think of old and I think of New York, I remember growing up in the Bronx, what we used to do is we used to take the train down to 42nd Street. And when the original Times building was still standing, there was a store called Times Record Store. And there was a fellow by the name of Slim. And Slim had this record shop. It was called Times Records. And it was incredible because all these guys would be hanging out on the sub, and it was, I'm not sure if I'm making myself coherent.
Because, no, you're doing fine.
Oh, yeah, good. Because some people might be just getting up, but I'm still howling with the moon. And what happened was, it was down underneath the subway, this record store was, see? So people would come down, and all these guys are into records. And it wasn't, we didn't call them collectors at that time. They're just people that had like this passion, you know? And they would sell singles and they bought it. And then you had all these groups coming down doing a cappella, you know? And they'd all sit around on the stairway and on the steps and they'd be singing. And then every Saturday, Slim would have a live broadcast from his store. And it was all a cappella and different groups from Brooklyn. If you won prizes and you get telephone calls, and it was real exciting. And it was like you know, you just met someone and you said, "Where you from, man?" They said, "I'm from Jersey." Or, "Where you from?" "I'm from Brooklyn." And you know, "Who do you dig?" "Well, I dig, you know, the Heartbeats, and I dig this group." And you start talking, you make friends, and some of them we still keep in touch with. And Times Square Record Store is no longer there, but many of the memories for me will always remain. And this is one song I remember that, you know, I saved my money and bought, and this is goes back and speaks for itself.
Do-do-do. me.
Something old. That's beautiful.
Thanks.
That's a new one for me. Now, that's a New York record from about when you're talking about now, when you were down at Slim's. Slim's? Was that the name?
No, Slim. Well, it's Time's record, and it was run by a fellow by the name of Slim's, and Brooklyn Bob or something, whatever his name was. And it was all these great characters. And
The Schoolboys.
Yeah.
And Please Say You Want Me.
Yeah, 50s sometime. I'm not really too good on days because I don't even know what days or weeks get me kind of confused. But that was just like a real sweet one because, like, you know, it just brings back a lot of memories because we played that one a lot. And certain records just kind of have that.
Was this buzz. Was it like a hit record anywhere? Or?
Well, you know, it's like one of the records I was trying to find, Nolan Strong and the Diablos doing The Wind. And I see it's strange because it was real big with us down in Times Records. But then the Jesters had covered it, and they had what they would call the hit. But, like, we knew at Times Records that Nolan Strong was, that was it. You know, and I'm sorry I don't have that one here, because it'd be real interesting, because that's a really sweet record. I mean, that's real ethereal. It's a beautiful one. But that was a hit. And that was a hit in the sense of, like, there was that kind of, well, it's kind of like what happened with FM radio and AM. There was just AM at that time, and people listened to AM, but there was like this cult of people mm-hmm. that just got together. And in that framework, like when you went to a party in Brooklyn, we used to have these little boxes. And in the boxes, there were the 45 boxes. And they would be labeled, and they have numbers on it, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10. And they were like, what do you call it, Dave?
Index.
Index, yeah. And they would have like index, either alphabetical or number. So you put like number 5. And the record would have like a little label you put on number right. on the label, number 5.
And you check on the chart, 5 yeah. would and be so it's everybody the Playboys,
come, everybody would come to a party, you know, and they all have little boxes, and everybody would open up the boxes, and they mm-hmm. you know, check out everybody else's, like, you know, with the stash at that time. Like, hey, man, Dave, you got, you know, Schoolboys, yeah. Or you might have a really weird Schoolboys, or you might have Nolan Strong and Diablo's doing something else, or Daddy's Home by Shep and the Limelights, you know, or you're 1,000 miles away. Then what came was like, and you'd play the records, you know, and what would condemn a party is if at the end of the night some cat came back and he realized one of his records was missing.
Uh-oh.
That was double trouble. That's anyway, when it moved into the street.
The old tune that Peter Wolfe selected was by the Schoolboys was called Please Say You Want Me. And that brings us around to something new. I'm going to pick the something new. You get to work now on the borrowed and the blue, okay? Something new. From, and this is no stroke on you, because people who listen to the station know that we're into this album all the time, and I think it's one of the best albums of the year, the Monkey Island album.
Oh, thank you.
By the Giles Band. For something new, we go to this tune. It's called Surrender, and it'll happen right after the fading. There it is. Somebody.
Yeah,
from the Monkey Island album, The Giles Band, Somebody. Peter Wolfe visiting with us this hour, and he's picking out the old Borrowed and Blue. I picked that one out, the new, from his album, and we'll be visiting with Pete just
now. We're giving Dave a little ripple on that.
All right. It's, I mean, the album took a long time, didn't it, to make? It's got a sound to it that looks like you worked real hard on it.
Yeah, well, it was the first one we produced, and it took us a while to get that all organized and things. And also, it was the first album we did where we didn't tour in between and things. We just spent all our time on Monkey Island. And it's the first album we used strings and background voices and horns and things like that, and just used the studio in a much more contemporary way than our previous album.
Why the name change from the Jay Giles Band to Giles? I mean, the personnel of the band is exactly the same as it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
No changes.
That's a good question, because actually, it really wasn't like a name change. There was a fellow by the name of Dr. Cortisone, very mysterious fellow. Now, Dr. Cortisone, he would come by and he would do our covers for us, you know. And he did like Ladies Invited and Nightmares. And what he'd do is we'd sit around and talk about some ideas, playing some tracks, and we'd get a little thing going. And we'd go like to different bookstores and look for like little maybe ideas to start off on. And we were in the studio for a long time, and nobody was allowed in because we just didn't want any distractions. It was, you know, it was like we just kind of like didn't, you know, it was like we're there. And after a while, I kept saying, "Hey, Wolf, you know, what's going on? I got to hear something." You know, and like a month would go by, 2 months would go by, 3. And, you know, I said, "Well, you know, just get the cover." I said, "Well, I mean, what are you going to call it?" And I said, "Monkey Island." And he said, "What's that?" You know, I said, I got to hear something just so I know what I'm working with, you know, if it's going to be, you know, a bright album or a somber album, whatever. So he came in one day and we played him a couple of tracks. And he said, "Man, it sounds totally different. You know, it hits you like a punch, you know." And we had this photograph, and the next day he came in with this rough rendering of what later became the album cover, and it just said Giles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "You know, if you go to the Jay Giles Band, it just, you know, it hits you like a fist, and it just be like Giles, you know." And we said, "That sounds great. You know, let's go with it and look good."
It makes sense.
And so it wasn't like, you know, it's sort of like if you had Led Zeppelin, Zeppelin, or Rolling Stones, Stones. And it wasn't like people going to confuse us with Lawrence Welk or Kay Kaiser and his, you know, band of renown.
So it's now Giles.
Yeah, but, you know, it says like produced by Jay Giles Band, and us and our mighty engineer Dave Thoner we got in there. But, you know, anybody can call us anything they want.
Okay. Peter, get your borrowed record ready, because we'll get to that in a couple of minutes.
You got it.
First, we have to put another 50 cents in the electric meter.
And I have to rejuvenate my palate here.
Very good.
Okay.
I've got orange juice. What are you doing there? Herbal tea? Is
it? Well, for the record, let's say it's herbal tea.
It's 25 minutes before 10. This is WNEW-FM in New York. New York at 20 minutes before 10. Peter Wolf visiting with us this hour and picking them out for you. We have worked our way up to Something Borrowed, Peter.
Something Borrowed, yeah. In Boston, about 1967, we're working with the band. I think that might be me. We're working with the band, and I had a radio show. It was on the graveyard shift. And in Boston, they have what they call blue laws. And you have to, you know, stop serving at a certain time. It was like 12:30. Back then, and so last call was about 12:45, and I would rush over to the radio station and do a show till 7 in the morning, and did it 7 days a week, because we were just playing a lot of local lounges and bars and things like that. And one day I get this, you know, I'd say, "Give me a call, don't you stall, you know, give me some postcards, let me know what you're listening, you know, let me know what you like." And most of the show was kind of like a lot of the things from my collection stuff, you know, just records I dug. And I got this postcard one day, and it said, "Play more Van Morrison," signed Janet Planet, you know. And then about 2 weeks ago, or 2 weeks later, you got it right, that's it. Steve Lee's going, "Yes, that's right, Wolf." Not a go later. 2 weeks later, I get this card, like, we're all scribbling, like, saying, "Damn good show, man. Play more John Lee Hooker, play more Sonny Boy, love your show, it saves my life at night," you know. And it said Van on it. I didn't have the connection. And then one day we were walking down Green Street, and I was talking to this guy who was in a band. He was trying to sell me a Gibson guitar or something. About making a long story short, or a short story even shorter, there was Van Morrison, and we got introduced, and he was living in a one-room apartment with his wife and his kid, and he was, I mean, he to on a night out, what he would do is they'd go out and buy a TV time dinner, and you know, the three of them would eat it, and they weren't doing too well, and he was composing at that time all the songs that later appeared on Astral Weeks. Yeah, and we would hang out constantly together at night, and he was into, I was into thinking, and he was into drinking, and his drinking got me into, my drinking got him into thinking, and it was like a vicious circle. And reason why I picked this song is because we used to, like, late at night sometimes with guitars and stuff, we used to, like, chomp on it, and it was originally done by Solomon Burke, but I think Van does a real nice cutting version of it.
I won't be able to stay, but I'm gonna kiss you one more time, yeah. Then I'm going away.
This one has borrowed, right? Van Morrison, yeah. Taking that one from Solomon Burke.
Yeah, I didn't know if to do that one or the Bring It On Home.
Goodbye, maybe. Baby.
But that was kind of not too many people might not know that one, so that might be good.
Well, give us something blue now.
Something blue. Well, this is kind of a song that, you know, won't leave a dry eye in the house. It kind of speaks for itself.
During the North African campaign, a bunch of soldier boys had been on a long hike, and they arrived in a little town called Casino. The next morning, being Sunday, several of the boys went to church. A sergeant commanded the boys in church, and after the chaplain had read the prayer, the text was taken up next. Those of the boys who had a prayer book took them out, but this one boy had only a deck of cards, and so he spread them out. The sergeant saw the cards and said, "Soldier, put away those cards." After the services were over, the soldier was taken prisoner and brought before the provost marshal. The marshal said, "Sergeant, why have you brought this man here?" "For playing cards in church, sir." "And what have you to say for yourself, son?" "Much, sir," replied the soldier. The marshal said, "I hope so, for if not, I shall punish you more than any man was ever punished." The soldier said, "Sir, I have been on the march for about 6 days. I had neither Bible nor prayer book, but I hope to satisfy you, sir, with the purity of my intentions." And with that, the boy started his story. "You see, sir, when I look at the ace, it reminds me that there is but one God. And the deuce reminds me that the Bible is divided into two parts, the Old and the New Testament. When I count the number of spots on a deck of cards, I find 365, the number of days in a year. There are 52 cards, the number of weeks in a year. There are 4 suits, the number of weeks in a month. There are 12 picture cards, the number of months in a year. There are 13 tricks, the number of weeks in a quarter. So, you see, sir, my pack of cards serves me as a Bible, an almanac, and a prayer book. And friends, the story is true. I know. I was that soldier."
Talk about something blue. It's Well, you'd like to say something about that record, Peter?
Well, I'm just too emotionally, I'm just too overwhelmed, David. I really can't comment for a couple. I have to get myself together after that.
The whole world is big. Get up on
it. In here and overwhelmed that Blue Tune was by Wink Martindale.
Wink. Oh, good Wink. Old Wink.
Wink.
Taking a wink on that one, Winky.
It was called Deck of Cards. I was done, I think, in the late 50s, around 57,
yeah.
58,
He did a version of that, and Tex Ritter did a version of that.
Deck of Cards.
And Sly Stone did a version of that.
The following is an announcement from the New York School of Gambling. You know that New Jersey voters approved casino gambling for Atlanta. The number again. WFM, it's 7 minutes before 10. Peter Wolf of the Giles Band visiting with us this morning. Peter mentioned a while back that he used to do a late night radio show up in Boston. I'd like you to intro the last couple of records, Wolf, like you used to do it back at about 4 o'clock in the morning, Boston, around what, 1967 maybe, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you're on.
And see, it was called the Wolf of Goof Mama Tufa Hoffa Lupa Show. I used to welcome all the little ladies of the night. The kid from Alabama keeping it all hid, all the ships out at sea, doing it to it and getting right through it. Give us a call, don't you stall, because I got a little lady, I'm going to put her in my book, because I just saw her walking down the street, and I just took one look. Yes, Miss Doris Troy, taking one look, and this is going out to all our requests and phone lines that have been blazing. And this one is to Queens, to Babo and Yabo. And this is the students singing, Darling, I Am Too Young. Memories. Students, and that's going out to all the people at Slim's, wherever they might be.
I'm so young, I can't marry no one.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, sweet.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf.
Well, thank you, Dave. Thank you for having me down.
Listen, I gotta tell anybody, really, no record color. This is what I feel. For 1976, if you want to have the really, like, best records of the year, incomplete without Monkey Island, Giles.
Thank you.
Anytime you come on up here. I wish we had longer. I mean, I could, like, now hang out for another couple hours playing these old records with you.
Well, wouldn't have to be. Oh, we just play all good stuff, and we'll do it one time.
Okay.
Matter of fact, you're coming down to...
The 29th of December, Thursday night, the 29th, two weeks from tonight,
yeah.
Giles at the Palladium, and I'll see you there.
Okay, good.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Come backstage, we'll have ourselves a couple of pops.
Pete Fornatel after the news, Dave Herman, thank you. I'll see you tomorrow, 102.7 WNEW-FM, New York.